Well, good morning and welcome to Purpose Church. Can we thank Megan Duke for singing that last song for us? Now, you need to know this. Megan, that is her own song. She wrote it, recorded it, performed it. She's an amazing worship leader. You can find her on Apple, on Spotify, on YouTube. Megan Duke and her husband, Zach, is here with us. And you're going to hear a little bit of his story in a moment. They are all the way here from Indiana, friends, okay? Where it is negative 100 degrees right now. And we are so glad that you all are with us. Well, good morning again. And if we haven't gotten a chance to meet yet, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here. And I am so glad that you are joining us, whether you're here in the worship center, on the balcony, out in the community terrace, or maybe you're joining us online on Apple or Spotify podcasts or on YouTube. We are so glad that you are joining us. And I look forward to telling you every single week, I love you. But most importantly, God loves you. So let's open our Bibles together to Nehemiah chapter 6. And while you're opening to Nehemiah chapter 6, maybe today is your very first day ever visiting Purpose Church, or you're kind of new to Purpose Church and you'd love to learn a little bit more about our community and ways to get plugged in. Well, I want to invite you right after our last service today is our welcome lunch. It'll be from about 12:45 to 1:45, just an hour in E200, which is in the south side of our parking lot, the big E building. You'll see it over there. And this is an opportunity for us to just get to know each other. I'll be there for some of our staff. You'll have an opportunity to ask questions and just figure out ways that you can get more connected here at Purpose Church. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Glenn was here preaching. Did he do an incredible job or what? He was amazing. Man, I'm trying to give these young bucks an opportunity to preach. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. He is just absolutely incredible. And we're so grateful. And the thing that I just think made the sermon so powerful is not only was it an incredible message, but Pastor Glenn and Kimberly, they are like real life examples of Nehemiah. And for some of you that are new to our church, you need to know this. Back in 1993, God called Pastor Glenn and Kimberly Gunderson to move all the way from New York out here to be the lead pastor of Purpose Church. And at that point in our history as a church, we're 156 years old. But at that point in the history of our church, attendance was down. In fact, many people were thinking we were about 6 months away from bankruptcy and having to close the doors of this church. But God used Pastor Glenn and Kimberly to rebuild this church by his grace, just as he used Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. So one more time, can we thank Glenn and Kimberly Gunderson for faithfully leading us for 31 years. Well, today we're continuing our series, Seven Decisions Great Leaders Make. And the definition we've been working with throughout this whole series for godly leadership is this. Godly leaders are people who influence themselves and others to fully follow Jesus. You know, there were a couple mornings this week, and this doesn't happen for me very often, but there were a couple mornings this week where I just didn't want to get out of bed. And I don't know if it's just the weight of all of the tension and pain that's going on in the world right now. I don't know if it's just challenges in my own life, but there were a couple mornings where I just didn't want to get out of bed, and maybe you've experienced that before. But I remembered this definition of godly leadership, that godly leadership is influencing ourselves and others to fully follow Jesus. Sometimes being a godly leader is literally just getting out of bed and doing the thing you're supposed to do, doing the thing God has called you to do. And I told you this week one, every single one of you is a leader. That all of you are a leader because all of you have influence over yourself and others. And so I know there's some of you here today who it took everything in you to just get here. And I want you to know we're so proud of you. We're so glad you're here, that you made the right move. Today we're in decision 4, which is great leaders know when to say no. When I was in high school, One of the jobs that I had was I worked at an art gallery. My parents had some friends who owned an art gallery, and so I would from time to time help take art from one gallery to the next or unload it and put it up. And sometimes I would work in this art gallery as a host, just kind of welcoming guests that were coming in and enjoying the art gallery. And on one particular day, I was a host at this art gallery along with another woman, and she was about the age of my mom, and we were kind of welcoming guests. And then all of a sudden, we started kind of talking to each other, and she started to get to know me and asked, you know, about what grade I was in, and we got to know each other a little bit. And then she said this comment to me. She said, "You know, I have a daughter that I think you should talk to." Now, at that time, I didn't think it was weird that this woman's trying to set me up with her daughter. I was just like, whoa, girls don't talk to me at all. This is cool, right? Like maybe, just maybe, something will happen here. And so this mom, she said, "Hey, why don't I give you my daughter's email address and you guys can just start talking to each other." So I remember later that day, I got her daughter's email address and I just started emailing. I just wrote her daughter an email. And then like within a couple hours, her daughter emailed me back. And then I emailed her, and then she emailed me back. And we just kind of had this new forming relationship, and we're getting to know each other, and we find out we have some things in common, and it seems like everything's, you know, just going really, really great. And then all of a sudden, in one of the emails, she goes, "Hey, Eric, I'd love to see a picture of you. Could you send me a picture of yourself? And then I'll send you a picture of me." And I was like, oh my goodness, because this is back in the day before we had smartphones, before we had social media. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to scour the house with mom. We need to take one of the photos from the wall. We need to scan it on the printer, upload it to the computer, email it out through dial-up connect, and hopefully it will get to her. So my mom and I were start like walking around the house, and like we find a photo. Now, I don't remember what photo it was, but here's a photo of me from high school. So around this time, okay? Luscious locks. I mean, come on, right? If any of you are thinking about going into pastoral ministry, this is what happens, okay? You lose all that for this. And so we scan this photo, and I write a little message, and then I email it off to her. And a couple hours goes by, and no response. And then a couple days go by, and no response. It's the weekend. I'm sure she was busy. Monday through Friday goes by, no response. The girl never wrote me back. Was I that bad looking? I mean, come on, right? She never wrote back. Now, to her credit, she knew when to say no, okay? She had made some kind of decision based on something she saw that it was time to say no. And there's at least three things, as we look into Nehemiah chapter 6, there's at least three things that great leaders know to say no to. You're a leader influencing yourself. You're a leader influencing your peers, maybe in your classroom, in your workplace. Maybe you're leading an organization or a business. What do you say no to? Well, the first thing is say no to distractions. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 6, there's at least three distractions that Nehemiah says no to. The first one is this: meaningless meetings. Nehemiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. "When word came to Sambalat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sambalat and Geshem sent me this message: 'Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono.' But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to tell them this: 'I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?' Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer." Sambalat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they said one thing, but they meant something else. They were intending and scheming to harm Nehemiah. They were inviting him to the plain of Ono, which was on the Judean border, because they were trying to get Nehemiah far away from his supporters in Jerusalem so that they could harm him and possibly even kill him. Now, it is never okay for us to scheme against another or for others to scheme against us, but it is okay to have different burdens from the Lord. Nehemiah very clearly knew that God had called him to do something very specific: rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
What has God called you to do? To raise a family? To be a light in your neighborhood? To walk the halls of your school, praying for people, encouraging, starting some company or business or initiative, leading an organization? What has God uniquely called you to do? Now, here's the thing. God is going to give us assignments, and they must always be biblical. So how do you filter whether an assignment that you're sensing from God is actually from God? You filter it through his word. You make sure that it's in alignment with his word. But they will also be different. The unique assignments God has given you might be different than the assignments he has given me. And that's what makes the body of Christ so diverse and effective. Here at Purpose Church, we experience this all the time. We have ministries that serve our local community that help provide food and clothing and bike repairs and medical needs, meeting the medical needs of unhoused people in our community. We work to help fight against human trafficking. We serve foster youth in our community here. And at the same time, we support, you all support through your generosity, over 60 global mission partners and organizations around the world who are sharing the gospel worldwide. We feel called locally and globally. Now, some of you are going to be more wired locally. That's awesome. Some of you have a greater passion globally. That's great. Or when it comes to even the next generation, we invest a lot in making sure that we have safe, healthy, strong ministries that help zero all the way through 18 and then into 35 young adults ministry that are helping the next generation know and follow Jesus. But then as Pastor Jacques said a couple Sundays ago, he's our new young adults pastor, if you are, an older young adult, that's what he said. If you're an older young adult, so maybe you're beyond that, we care about you too. And we've got ministries to help adults and senior adults and to serve them here in our community. Here's the point. Be passionate about the burden God has given you and be humble about it. Be passionate about it. And as we talked about a couple weeks ago, great leaders don't travel alone. Get people around you. Find out who the Spirit of God is softening their heart in the same way he's softening your heart. But be humble about your burden. And when another person's burden, if it's aligned biblically, is different than yours, appreciate it. Celebrate it. Pray for it. Distraction number two is being misunderstood. And this can be one of the most painful parts of being a leader. Verse 5, then the fifth time, Sambalat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter. We'll come back to that in a moment. In which was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have been appointed and have appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now, this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together. But I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. You see, they were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed. Now strengthen my hands. Nehemiah's adversaries are spreading rumors and they are growing like wildfire. And what does he do? He prays. Now, why does Nehemiah pray for strength? Because the text says that this particular letter was an unsealed letter. That is code in the year 444 BC for this letter would have been read by every single person who had received it along the way on its path to Nehemiah. Meaning powerful, influential people would have read the allegations, the false claims, the lies that are being spread here. Meaning the lies and the rumors that were not true about Nehemiah have spread beyond his ability to control them. Have you been there before? Where somebody started saying something about you and told this person and that person or this post or that, and all of a sudden it was so much bigger than you? When others lie and scheme and manipulate to stop your purpose, don't respond like them. Respond to them. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, do not lower yourself to the ways of the world. Do not manipulate and scheme and lie to try to get back to them. That's what the world does, and we see that happening all over the place. No, don't respond like them. Respond directly to them. That's what Nehemiah did. He got this letter, and instead of panicking and freaking out, he went directly to the source, and he said, "You need to know this is not true. What you are saying about me is not true. God is doing something different." Now, why is Nehemiah here? He's here because God doesn't ask us to do easy things. And if somewhere along the line, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you were sold some lie that following Jesus is easy and comfortable, I am so sorry. Because they lied to you. In fact, following Jesus can be very difficult and very challenging. And God has set up our relationship with him in such a way that he is not going to ask you to do easy things. He is going to ask you to do things that require his strength. That's what Nehemiah did. He prayed and he said, "God, strengthen our hands." Why? Why does God ask us to do hard things that require his strength? Two reasons. Number one, because he will get the glory. And number two, because we will stand amazed. Because when you live your life in such a way where you go, "God, I don't know how this is gonna happen. I feel you calling me to this. It's made evidence in your word. It's clear. The support is here that you've called me to do this. You've called me to say this. You've called me to live in this way. You've called me to share the gospel with this person. I don't know how it's going to happen." And then you watch God work. He gets the glory, not you. And number two, we stand amazed and our faith is bolstered and even emboldened. And distraction number three, sin. Nehemiah continues in verse 10. "One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in at home. He said, 'Let us meet in the house of God inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you.' But I said, 'Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me." See, if Nehemiah, if he hides in the temple, he's gonna hide in a place that only priests were allowed to go, and therefore his character and his accomplishments would be tarnished because he would have sinned. Now, leading and influencing others and yourself to fully follow Jesus will always, every single time, entice Satan, who is your enemy. Whether you recognize it or not, you have an enemy, and it's not your spouse, it's not your kids, it's not your boss. You have an enemy, and his name is Satan. And he is always lurking, trying to devour us. He wants you to sin, because sin destroys our relationship with God. It destroys our relationships with others. It destroys us from the inside out. So what do? Well, James, the brother of Jesus, he put it this way. James chapter 4, verse 7. "Submit yourselves then to God." As soon as the temptation comes to look at porn, you go, "God, I submit this to you." As soon as the temptation comes to drink, to take the edge off, "I submit this to you." As soon as the temptation comes to gossip so you feel more connected to this group of people, you submit it to God. And you resist the devil. You say, "No, I am not going to give into that, because I know where that road ends." And the promise of Scripture is Satan will flee from you. And we don't just do this individually, we do this communally, corporately. This coming Wednesday is our next worship and prayer night. These are some of our favorite nights of the year. We only do about four of these a year, but they're amazing. Last time we did it, we had over 600 people gather together to worship God. And we're gonna have an extended time of worship. We're gonna have an extended time of praying for each other. And this is one of the ways that we as a church submit to God. It's one of the ways that we glorify him, that we praise him as the rightful savior of our lives. It's one of the ways that we get before God and we realize and we recognize and we declare, God, you are so powerful and mighty, and all the problems that we're experiencing are so much smaller in view of you. So I want to invite you to be here, because I believe two things about this coming Wednesday. Number one, you need to be here because God wants to encounter you. And number two, there's somebody who's coming that needs you to pray for them, that needs you to encourage them, that needs to see your faith on display, and it will embolster and embolden them. So I want to invite you, come, put it in your calendar, be here. All generations invited this Wednesday for worship night. Now, practically, we say no to distractions by making a yes list. Make a list of the 5 to 10 things you should focus on and do in your stage of life and current context. Then filter out the distractions that don't make the cut. Number two, say no to wasting time. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 16. Verse 16. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. The unimaginable happened. The wall has been built in 52 days. Why? Because God helped. You see, Nehemiah teaches us this. If God puts the assignment inside you, he will help complete the assignment through you. Any assignment from God, he is going to give you what you need to do what he has called you to do. And then did you notice there's that bit about Tobiah writing letters to Judah and Judah sending letters back to Tobiah? What's that all about? Here's where we learn the difference between good leaders and bad leaders. Bad leaders waste time talking about doing stuff, but good leaders actually get stuff done. Tobiah's going, I don't really like the things that Nehemiah is doing. Can you help us? And they're sending emails back and forth and letters are going back and nothing is getting accomplished for the kingdom of God. But Nehemiah, he's a good leader. He's a godly leader. And he's actually getting stuff done. Now, I want to introduce you to a good and a godly leader who God is using to get stuff done. Zach Duke, he is known as World Cup Dad. You can find him on Instagram. He's a husband, father of 5, and professional soccer player whose journey from never playing soccer at the age of 34 to representing the USA Pro Indoor Team has become a living testimony of God's power. Through discipline, faith, and surrender, Zach is turning his pursuit of the 2026 World Cup into a mission to awaken hearts, restore families, and ignite men with purpose. More than chasing a dream, Zach's story is following the Spirit's call to live fully alive for the glory of God. Zach now inspires thousands worldwide to walk in obedience, courage, and radical faith. So let's watch this video and then we'll welcome Zach to the stage.
So imagine going from never playing soccer before at all in your life ever to becoming an in-demand player in just 2 years. That is the unbelievable, incredible journey of 34-year-old Zach Duke, a late blooming football star whose eyes are set on the main game to make the USA men's team at the 2026 FIFA World Cup.
From backyard games to the bright lights of the big leagues, his story is proof that it's never too late to chase your dreams and score a few goals along the way. Viral soccer
on Instagram,
social media.
World Cup Dad, also known as Zach Duke, started playing soccer just 3 years ago and immediately set a goal of trying to make a World Cup roster. Now, there's no chance that an adult can just pick up a sport and go pro, right? Well, since that time, Duke has played at TST, in Brazil, and in the MASL, among other places. Welcome to the show, making your morning footy debut.
Purpose Church family, would you welcome Zach Duke?
Good morning. Hey, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This is the farthest thing from a story about soccer. It's not a story about discipline. It's not a story even about achievements or success. This is a story of Jesus and a testimony of Jesus, of what can happen when one man, anyone just like us, can give their full surrender and full heart to Jesus. He's the one that broke the chains. He's the one that took away the fear. This is a story about him. That is possible in any one of us when we give Jesus our full yes. Just 3 years ago, I was full of despair. I was discouraged. I was depressed. No joke. Most nights, I asked God to not let me wake up that next day. I was miserable. I was sick, chronically sick for 6 years in so much pain. And I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what to do. And so I was in a coffee shop 3 years ago, and I'm just listening to this podcast, and I'm just begging for Jesus to break through, begging him. And this podcast was for Christian dads saying, where are the dads that are willing to push themselves to the edge? Willing to go to the farthest extent for their wives, for their children, for God, for everything that he's called us to do, because we've all been given a calling. We've all been given an assignment, and we know in our hearts of what God has called us to. But sometimes, like me, I was living not in my full calling, not in my full potential that God had called me to. So I'm sitting there listening to this saying, I don't want to accept the status quo. I don't want to accept this mediocre cultural norm. I want to do what God has asked me to do. And so I was ready. I'm like, Jesus, do not let me move from this chair until you bring the fire back into my heart. And it was like I was struck by lightning, and this resolve began to bubble up in me. I'm on the edge of my seat about to journal, and God says the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He said, I want you to play soccer. I'm like, no, that's the pizza I had last night. No, no, no. And he began to remind me that, Zach, you're going to India this next month to be with the former FIFA director of India, who uses soccer to plant underground churches in the hardest places on earth. In Bhutan, in India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, and Bangladesh. It's the global sport, the global language. In America, it's on the rise. The World Cup's coming here, Copa America, all these tournaments. The spotlight, if you want to reach the people for Jesus, is through the sport of soccer. I'm like, okay, I'm in. If this is for your name, for your glory, to bring people into the kingdom, then Jesus, would you do it? But there's a problem. I'm really, really bad at soccer. I've never played before. I'm 34 and I'm overweight and I'm out of shape and I have no idea what to do. And God was just reminding me, this isn't your story. This isn't about your ability. This is about what I'm about to do in you to show people that the impossible is possible with God. That people can have faith and courage once again. And so I started training like a madman, and I played recreational soccer, scared to death. Played amateur soccer, still not good, and just needed dependency on the Holy Spirit. I got invited to play and train with the pro team in Brazil 2 years ago. Was terrified, but God used that time. And then I played in the 7-on-7 World Championship called TST. ESPN aired the games. Pat McAfee's show was there. It was crazy. And then I got invited to play for the USA pro indoor team. Beyond my wildest dreams. And they actually played me. Like, what in the world is going on? And from there, I get drafted professionally by a soccer team. Just 2.5 years. And I haven't shared this publicly yet, but God has done it, guys. I got invited to play, not in the FIFA World Cup, but in the 6v6 World Cup for Brazil this year in Germany. Like, God made it happen. God made it happen, playing for the number one team. Didn't even know that was possible. And so, guys, this is the truth. Jesus holds the keys. Jesus breaks the chains. Jesus can take someone. If you have a pulse and you're wondering, is there still time for me? Is there still hope? Am I still able to do what you've called me to do? If you're breathing, doesn't matter if you are 1 or 101, the answer is yes. God can take that little seed and make it into an orchard. God can use your life when you surrender it and do amazing things that are beyond infinitely more than you could ask, think, or imagine because of his power that is working through you. So this is the truth, guys. This is it. God can use you right now, right where you are, with your gifts, with your abilities, with your yes. Nothing is too hard from God. It's not too late to change. And the impossible is possible when you give everything to him. Thank you so much, Purpose Church.
All right, church family, we are just going to pray over this amazing family because God is clearly using them. Would you extend your hands forward? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Megan, and we thank you for Zach. We thank you for their five wonderful children, and we just ask, God, that you would continue to bless their ministry, Lord. Thank you for Megan's worship leading ministry. Thank you for calling Zach to play in the World Cup. This is crazy, Lord, but you are opening these doors so that the gospel would go forth, and we just are so grateful for this couple. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks, Zach. Amen. So, practically speaking, we say no to wasting time by scheduling out your day the night before. Every night, make sure your calendar for the next day includes what's most important so you don't waste your day away. And then lastly, number three, say no to only trusting yourself. Chapter 7, verse 1, after the wall had been rebuilt and I had set the doors in place, the gatekeepers, the musicians, and the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hanani, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people do. I mean, Nehemiah had his fair share of hurt and rejection and disappointment, and it would have been easy for him to not trust anyone ever again. And yes, Nehemiah's enemies hurt him, but they didn't stop him from trusting others and doing what God had called him to do. Now I want to ask you a question. Will those who've hurt you stop you from being a godly leader? Will you let those who have hurt you stop you from being a godly leader? Well, what does Nehemiah do? He trusts and he delegates leadership to people with a proven track record and a faith in God. Practically speaking, say no to only trusting yourself by identifying strengths in another. Pick someone you know who is trustworthy, has integrity, and loves God, and tell them how you see God using their skills and gifts to help others know and follow Jesus. Now, as we close, there is one last thing that great leaders know to say no to, and it's this. They say no to being their own savior. My wife Sarah and I, we were watching this show on Netflix about an emergency room. It's a documentary about an emergency room. And it just reinforced to us how grateful we are, beyond words, for all of the first responders in our church. We are just so incredibly grateful for all of you and for all of you that are in the medical field, surgeons. We are just so incredibly grateful for you, nurses and doctors and surgeons, because we watched case after case after case of people coming in that were utterly helpless. And these first responders just rose to the occasion. And there was this one story of this little boy who had swallowed a lithium battery. And the thing about lithium batteries is they are absolutely deadly. When they get lodged in your esophagus, the saliva in your throat causes an electrical current that forms a chemical reaction that can burn your esophagus and even kill you. And so here's this little boy with a lithium battery in his throat, and there's a whole team of people around him, and there's one surgeon, and she has this little tong, and she goes in there, and she gets this battery, removes it from this boy, and saves his life. It was incredible. And as we watched this documentary, we never saw once somebody, a patient, save themselves. Every one of them needed somebody else to save them. In fact, the chairman of the surgical unit got in this horrible accident and actually had to rely on another surgeon to perform surgery on him. I mean, he had all the training in the world, but he couldn't perform his own surgery. See, in the same way, sin, which is any thought, word, or action that's disobedient to God. He's the creator of the universe. He makes the rules. He determines and he knows what's good for us, what's bad for us. And the truth is, whenever we choose what's bad for us instead of what's good for us, we're sinning. We're living in disobedience to God. And God hates sin because sin hurts you. Because sin destroys our lives. It destroys our relationship with God, with each other. It brings nothing but wreckage. Sin is kind of like swallowing a lithium battery. You can't save yourself from it. You need another to come and save you. And in fact, the Bible refers to Jesus as the great physician. Jesus is the all-powerful surgeon. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, he lived a perfect life. He was the only person on planet Earth who ever lived that did not deserve to die, that did not deserve to feel the weight of sin on his shoulders. But he did. Willingly. Why? Why would Jesus, after living a perfect life, why would he choose to feel and absorb and take on all of your sin and all of my sin? Why? One word. Love. It's because he loves you. It's because he loves you more than a spouse ever could. He loves you more than kids ever could. He loves you more than your career ever could. He loves you perfectly and completely, and he demonstrated it by taking the sin that what we get when we sin is eternal separation from God. But instead, he took that on himself so we could be free, so we could be forgiven, so we could have a relationship with Jesus that transforms our lives now and forevermore as we experience eternity in heaven with him. See, you and I, we need one thing. We need a great physician. We need a great surgeon, because we cannot save ourselves. We cannot operate on ourselves. We need Jesus to transform us and forgive us. If you're here today and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your moment. This is your opportunity. This is the most important decision that you could ever make in your life, because the life that God created you for, that he designed you for, that he wants you for, a life of freedom and a life of flourishing, a life of knowing what to do when you're in difficult situations, a life where you know deep in your soul that you are never alone and that you are fully loved by the God who created you, is only possible by first receiving him. The Bible uses this word repent. Repent, it just means to change your thinking. To recognize, I can't save myself. And my salary can't save me. And my wife can't save me. And my good works can't save me. And none of those things can save me. So I'm gonna change my thinking, and I'm gonna believe and trust that the only one who can save me is the one who created me, lived for me, died for me, and rose from the dead for me. And to say, Jesus, I surrender my whole life to you. And so I wanna invite everyone to close their eyes right now. You may have heard me say these words 100 times before, or you may be here for the first time hearing these words, and no matter where you're at, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, this is your moment. He has done everything Christ has on your behalf, but he's not gonna force you to follow him. He's inviting you to follow him. Are you ready? Because this is your moment. With every eye closed, if you're here in this place and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never trusted him to save you, stop trying to do it on your own. It hasn't worked up to this point, and it will not work. But he loves you so much that he is inviting you right now to trust him. So if that's you right now and you want to begin a relationship with Jesus for the first time, with every eye closed, this is between you and God. You're making a big decision, the most important decision of your life. I want to invite you right now to raise your hand in the air. That whether you're here in the worship center, on the floor, or in the balcony, or in the community terrace, or maybe watching or listening online, I want to invite you wherever you're at to raise your hand right now if you want to begin following Jesus for the first time. And with your hands up right now, I want to invite you to silently pray this prayer after me. Jesus, I confess that my sin is a problem I can't fix. I believe that you died on the cross to forgive me. I trust that you rose from the dead, proving you are God. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Today and every day, I choose to follow you. Well, you can put your hand down. If you prayed that prayer, you can open your eyes right now. You made the most important decision of your life. Everything changes from here on out because you've given your life to Christ. So I want to encourage you. At the end of this worship service, me and some of our team will be up here and we have a gift for you, a free gift that we want to give you to help you take your next steps to continue following Jesus. And so don't leave the worship center without joining us up front to just get a quick gift from us so we can encourage you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your incredible love. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to say no to the things that we need to say no to, saying no to distractions, saying no to wasting time, saying no to only trusting ourselves, and even saying no to being our Savior, because we are a bad Savior, but you're the perfect Savior. And so we love you and we celebrate you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.